HarperCollins presents War Horse, 40th Anniversary Edition, by Michael Morpurgo. Read by Luke Treadaway, with Michael Morpurgo.
Foreword. I've often told the tale that the idea of writing War Horse first came to me from a chance conversation in the local pub in the winter of 1979. With an old man who lived in our village of Iddesleigh, in Devon. Wilf Ellis, he was called. I knew already that he'd been a young soldier in World War I, and we got talking by the fire. He was just 17 when he joined up, and he'd gone there, he said, with horses. And it's perfectly true that if I hadn't met Wilf that day in the pub, I should never have written War Horse. But in fact, the seed of the story grew out of my early childhood. I was a war baby born in 1943. I grew up in post-war London, at a time when the pity and the loss of war was all around me. We played in the bomb site next to our house, looked out of our classroom window at St. Matthias School across the playground into another bomb site. At home, there was a picture of my Uncle Peter in his RAF uniform on our mantelpiece in the sitting room. He had been killed in World War II in 1941, 2 years before I was born. My mother grieved for him all her life. To me, he was always more a hero than an uncle. He was one of those who had helped save the country, died to save our freedom. I always wished I'd known him. I still do. Then there was the family friend who used to come to tea, Eric Pierce, who had flown in the war in the Fleet Air Arm. His face and hands had been terribly burnt when his plane crashed on landing. As a young boy, I was fascinated by his scars and found it difficult not to stare at him. Many years on, I told him how ashamed I was to have stared at him like that when I was a child. He said he remembered how I'd looked at him, but he hadn't minded a bit. It was when people looked away that he minded. So I grew up knowing what war does, right or wrong, any war. It kills uncles. It damages flesh and minds and lives, destroys buildings, and it also destroys families and societies. And more often than not, win or lose leads to the next war. And the next. As a teenager, I read the poets of the First World War, Edward Thomas, Wilfred Owen, Siegfried Sassoon. I read All Quiet on the Western Front, produced a school play as a teacher of Oh, What a Lovely War, saw the film of Paths of Glory. In the end, writers must write about what they care about. I care, as most of us do, about the environment, injustice, war and peace. I have written about all these. I should never have written War Horse had I not lived my early years in the shadow of World War II. Of course, we call that war into which I was born World War II, because there was another world war before it, which had been called the Great War. Until recently, we often referred to World War II simply as the war. And now that has all changed. Talk about the war today as I write this in April of 2022, and we mean the war in Ukraine. Every war, we always hope, will be the war to end all wars. But it never has been. War, it seems, has come back to haunt us yet again. Men and women on both sides in Ukraine are dying again, in trenches, on the battlefield, and families and communities are being massacred, entire towns destroyed. Millions of refugees are on the road again, fleeing their homes, seeking safety. Hate and vengeance is rife. When War Horse first came out in 1982, there were those who said that a book about war and peace, and War Horse is about both, is not a proper or relevant subject for a children's book. Better not to dwell on such matters. Best not to look back to those times. And anyway,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?